you want to do the intro, Isaac?
No.
Okay. Welcome back to Dime of Gems. I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with a guy that doesn't want to do an intro. His name is Isaac. He is the co-host of the Dime of Gems podcast. If you are new, thank you for joining us. Please like, subscribe, leave a kind review, and enjoy the episode.
I can't today, be put on the spot like that. I would do the intro at some point. Just not... Do you want to do the intro while you should already be doing the intro?
Well, you can't freestyle?
No.
That's too bad.
I get overwhelmed. I won't know what to say. I freeze up.
Get nervous.
It'll take a whole episode to get through the intro.
Do you know what this episode is about, Isaac?
It's an April recap because it is May.
It's true.
It is.
As at the time that we record this, it is May 2nd. It'll probably come out May 3rd, hopefully, if all goes well. And, we are here to talk about baseball, well, as we always are.
We talk about a lot of other things because we
take some detours.
But we get back to baseball eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The theme is baseball.
And we said when we came back for season 3, we're not going to do a ton of, day-by-day MLB stuff. We're going to look a little more big picture, have some other interesting conversations that don't necessarily revolve around MLB day-to-day. But big picture, a month.
Big picture stuff.
That's big, right? Day.
So we're all Michael Scott co-manager. No one is Jim Halpert.
Exactly. Co-manager. Big picture. So this is a huge, big, giant episode about basically what's happened in the MLB over the course of April. And if you're nervous about long episodes, don't worry. It's actually not going to be a big, huge, long episode. It's just a quick little check-in on you. So let's start with standings. Let's do some standing watching. We're a month in. Do you think this is an acceptable time to actually care what's happening in the standings?
Not when you look at the top. For the most part, there's obviously a couple teams that belong there, and there's one major outlier.
So let's just start with the outlier then, Isaac. In the National League Central, I'm assuming you're talking about the 20 wins and 9 loss Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh, you flipped it around. He's got the Pirates hat on. Are you riding with your Buccos, Isaac? They've won...
Always.
In their last 10, they're 8-2.
They've always been my NL team. They're garbage.
True. You just normally don't really pay that much attention to them because they're not worth watching.
Yeah, apparently they are this year. Even with O'Neill Cruz being injured, they're like zooming.
Broken ankle. We'll get to that later. We're going to do some quick injury updates at the end of this episode.
Oh.
But 20-9, Isaac. They are the best record in the National League belongs to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't remember exactly where we had them in our tier list, but I think that it was in the D tier, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They were bottom 15 for sure.
They might be E tier.
No, they weren't, I don't think.
Oh, okay. I know there was the race of 30 wins, and there was the two Chicago teams were the first two teams, I believe, a few years back. First two teams to 30 wins. And the White Sox were overachieving at that point, and reality hit them eventually and they became bad. So that will be the course for Pittsburgh. And I like to say, I don't want to say things confidently, but I am confident about that. They can't. It is unsustainable.
Not possible.
What they're doing. It's not possible.
Well, the National League Central looks like this. Pirates, Brewers, Cubs, Reds, and the Cardinals, Isaac. We have to talk about the Cardinals as well. They are 10-19, and all three of us, you, myself, and Greg, all picked the Cardinals to win.
Did I not pick
win.
Milwaukee?
Actually, you might have picked Milwaukee.
I might know, but I don't know if I switched.
I think you said that you wanted to pick the Cardinals. You can look it up on our Instagram. Someone can hold us accountable. I can't remember what it was, but at Diamond Gems Podcast, we posted our predictions. Maybe you can find it right now, Isaac. I don't know.
I think I ended up going with the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are playing really bad baseball. In their last 10, they've only won 2 games. They are terrible on the road, 5-11. At home, 5-8, not much better. They've had a couple injuries pop up. Nothing extremely major, though. But the main problem is that their big guys haven't seemed to get it going. They have not been playing the Cardinals brand of defense that we have come to expect over the last couple of seasons. And yeah, they find themselves in dead last in the National League Central.
We all picked the Cardinals, Jacob.
Yeah, it's not ideal, man. Now, of course, I do not expect them to be this bad over the course of the season. I expect them to climb back into contention for sure, but they've already dug themselves a 10-game deficit.
Yeah.
After 1 month. That's a lot of ground to make up. And the thing is, the 10 games you're making up are on the Pirates, which I think is attainable. I expect the Pirates to not win the division. I think that this is a really good month that I do not expect to continue. But you never know. The Brewers, however, are still 18-10, which is a fantastic record. That's a .643 winning percentage. And they're looking more legit. Obviously, they were kind of like the second. They had the second best odds going into the season.
And they were close, too.
Yeah, so to be 8 games behind a team that you were supposed to be competing with for the division already, do you think that deficit is already too big for the Cardinals to overcome and they're going to be wild card hunting versus division hunting? Or do you think
at this point, it's not too big, but the way they've looked. See, Well, obviously, their winning percentage is unsustainably bad. But I think their losing ways are more sustainable than Pittsburgh's winning ways. They don't look like a good team at all right now. Like, at all. And obviously, things will pick up a little bit, but there's a lot going on in St. Louis that is not good. Tyler O'Neill being benched a while ago for not running, allegedly, and Tyler O'Neill fighting back and saying he was running and creating disputes within the dugout. There's some shit in St. Louis going on, and there's no Yadier Molina playing catcher to put that shit together. So, I don't know, man. The highlight of their year so far is Adam Wainwright singing the national anthem. That's the only thing they've done.
That was great. Also, they did beat the Jays in the opening series of the season. They got off to a 2-1 start, and it's all been downhill from there.
Although the Jays looked bad in that series for the most
part. They did look really bad. Their pitching was terrible. But that's so far behind us now. We don't really need to talk about that. But yeah, things are very interesting. What have you thought about the Cubs so far? Have you watched any of their games?
I actually can't say I have. They're one of those teams that I'm just like, all right.
I've enjoyed them. They've kind of been a fun team to watch. They were one of those teams, you know, they got Cody Bellinger, they got Trey Mancini. Who else did they get? They got a few guys that have had some good seasons in the past and they're hoping could do it again. Bellinger being the big guy. Bellinger, Marcus. Isaac, off to a great start. I don't have his numbers right in front of me right now. I'm sure I could pull them up quickly. Let's just do that.
He had the highest first-year arbitration in MLB.
Is that true? Yeah. In 2019, he was the MVP. He finished that season with a 167 OPS plus and hit 47 home runs. And so far this season with his new team. Oh, I guess I should touch on basically what happened after that, which was all bad. After that MVP season in 2019... he has a collective across 1,143 plate appearances, not a small sample size, a 203 batting average, a 648 OPS, and a 75 OPS plus. So he's been 25% worse than the majority of baseball.
And he's been written off by a lot of baseball. But he's not old. There's still hope for this man. So who knows? No. Maybe it is something that he can keep up.
So far this season, 7 home runs, 18 RBIs, batting .295 with a .962 OPS, 158 OPS plus. He's off to a very good start.
Yeah, and he's a very good athlete. I don't know. I have faith that he could continue this, but I won't watch a Cubs game until the IV's green.
Love that. We won't talk about the Reds. They're a waste of time. They're a bad team, and they're playing bad so far. So they actually got off to a decent start and then have started shitting the bed. So,
sorry, Reds fans, if there are any.
Yeah, we know we have at least one confirmed listener who is a Reds fan. So, yeah. Matt, apologies.
We apologize on behalf of your organization.
You're also a Orioles fan, allegedly, now. So you can just enjoy Orioles baseball, which we will get to when we talk about the American League East. But first, let's talk about the National League East, Isaac. You currently have the Braves leading the pack, 19 wins, 10 losses. I'd say that's to be expected. We all picked the Braves to win the division there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We expected the Mets or the Phillies to be kind of behind them. Mets probably second, Phillies third. However, neither of those teams are actually in second right now. It's actually the Miami Marlins. They are 16-3. The Mets 16-3, and the Phillies at 500, 15-15. And then, of course, you have the horrible Washington Nationals with a 357 winning percentage in last place. That should keep up and be consistent across the course of the season. But yeah, what do you make of these standings? Pretty much nothing going on here so far.
The Mets are obviously cursed. We know this, so that's not surprising. Atlanta, I picked them to win the World Series. So I'm happy about that. Washington might have the worst winning percentage at the end of the season, other than Oakland.
A's have something to say about
Oakland
that.
Is not a baseball team, so it's fine.
they don't even count.
They don't exist. But yeah, this is fine. Like the Mets, man, it's just sad. Miami, I think, will fall to around 500 by the end of the season.
But I mean, the Mets still have a winning percentage. You know,
I don't
want to
write
552
Miami completely off. Even like Miami's an interesting team.
Yeah, like I could see Miami being slightly better than 500 over the course of the season, but I do think
their division's too tight, too tough though, for them at this point in their existence.
Yeah, Luis Arraez, Isaac, is batting 480. I think I made a note of this.
He's like 438. You have with the 500 OBP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you and Greg both picked him as your National League batting champ. That's looking there too. No, you and Greg.
Greg picked him too.
Yeah.
Nice. Good pick.
Yeah, you guys are on point.
Yeah, that's the boy. Like, that guy just hits base hits all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's his life. If anybody could hit 400 in a season, it's him.
Yeah.
Quietly. He does it quietly, too.
Especially he quietly wins Miami, batting a very titles. Quiet stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say so far, the way I look at this, I definitely think the Braves are an amazing team, and I expect them to win this division. But then the Mets at 16-13, like that's kind of like an okay month.
That's fine.
You can obviously, you haven't dug yourself a hole. You've played well enough that you're still only three games back. Like you're okay there.
You can play 500 until the All-Star game and still win this World Series. It's cool.
Absolutely. So even the Phillies at 500, like there's no reason to panic, I don't think, yet for either the Mets or the Phillies. And speaking of the Phillies, Isaac, fucking Bryce Harper is back in the lineup today. As we record this, which is Tuesday, May 2nd. He's expected to come back.
Yeah, I wanted to tune into that.
I think they play at like 7 or something.
I'm just baffled by it, to be honest.
It's incredible. This is, did you know, Isaac, that this is the shortest recovery in terms of days? From Tommy John in MLB history. Nobody has ever come back faster than Bryce Harper has from his Tommy John recovery.
Do people still call Bryce Harper overrated? Are there people that still do that?
Yeah. They're idiots, but there's people that do that.
He's proven in the past, even the past like 2 years, that clearly he's not overrated. And then now he's coming back from Tommy John. He's not human.
Yeah,
that's too quick.
It's insane.
It's insane.
Robotic Bryce.
Obviously, he's gonna play. He's gonna be DHing for the rest of the season. I hope.
Yeah, and Isaac, I drafted him 132nd overall.
Yeah,
in our Shaped by Sports fantasy.
That was a massive steal. Because he wasn't supposed to be back until like late June, wasn't it?
Something yeah, but like we that. Did our draft. We did our draft after the Phillies announced that he would be on the 15-day IL, not the 60-day. So
oh,
to me,
right.
That was a signal that
well, yeah,
he could
course.
Be back.
And that's why I picked I picked Liam Hendricks for that reason too. He was on the 15-day IL.
Liam Hendricks, welcome back. I forgot he's back playing pitching baseball games now, isn't he?
No, he's training right now.
Isn't he? He's not back yet.
He hasn't officially played. No, he's. I don't know.
Jumped
when
the gun.
Let me see when he's back.
But the fact that he's even resumed baseball activities and is pitching and everything,
he's
that's
upping,
amazing.
He's upping his training regimen too right now. So he's actually on track right now. He still needs some form of a spring. Let's see where he's at. Liam Hendricks, there's an update on him. He begins his minor league rehab assignment tomorrow. So who knows how many appearances he's going to have. Hopefully I'll go as well, rooting for him. That's very exciting for both organizations. To be honest, there's no other team that needs him more than the White Sox right now, too.
Yeah, they need a spark plug.
Oh no, Luis Garcia went on the IL today.
All right, Isaac, you want some fun facts here?
Elbow discomfort, yeah.
So, typically it takes you 9 months to a year to recover from Tommy John. This is, again, this you should note that it's mostly pitchers that get Tommy John. So, obviously, if they're having to throw up to like 100 pitches in a game, you need your elbow to be even more stable than a position player like Bryce coming back into the lineup. But yeah, 9 months to a year. So, basically, up to like 365 days, right? Whereas Bryce recovered in 159 days since he underwent Tommy John surgery. He's back on the field. Now, he's obviously able to do this because of the designated hitter. So thank you again, Rob Manfred and the commissioner's office, for instituting the universal DH, because Bryce Harper would not be able to play baseball games right now for the Philadelphia Phillies if there was no designated hitter in place. So shout out to that institution, which I have come to love. Not the commissioner's office, the institution of the... I think I'm using institution wrong. But the fact that they implemented the DH rule in the National League is what I'm trying to get at. Huh?
Implementation?
That's probably the word I was looking for. Vocabulary, not a strong suit of
yeah, neither
of the podcast.
Was. Institution.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible. I'm excited to see him come back on the field for both my fantasy team and, you know, just life in general. It's good. Good to see people healthy. Where did I have the standings here, Isaac?
I don't know, man. I don't see a computer. All I see is you looking at a computer.
Oh, here they are. I found them.
Found them.
So, I mean, that kind of covers the National League East, I think.
Yep.
Do you have any other notes you wanted to touch on? Do we know what's happening? Max is still serving a suspension. He's not back yet, but he's not hurt or anything. He'll be pitching. What about Verlander? Is he back
right.
yet? You want to check in on that?
I'll check for an update.
While you do that, let's move over to the National League West. I'll read off the standings here. The Dodgers, who actually got off to a slow start, are starting to cook up again in their last 10. They're 7 wins, 3 losses. They are currently in first in the National League West, 17-13. Then you have the Diamondbacks, who are a fun team to watch. I believe we had them in our D tier, but didn't really want them there because we knew that they had some upside. So they're off to a good start. And, you know, they are actually one of these teams, I think, it is potentially sustainable for them to keep up a 552 win percentage, I would say. I think it's probably unlikely, but not impossible. Whereas with the Pirates, I just feel like there's no fucking chance that's happening. Hi.
I got it.
What do you got for me?
Great
on
news
Justin Verlander
for Mets fans from yesterday. Buck Showalter confirmed that Verlander is lined up to be activated from the 15-day IL on Thursday to make his debut against Detroit.
Oh,
that's pretty cool. In
an
Detroit,
old team.
Justin Verlander playing, making his season debut in Detroit.
Detroit Tigers legend, Justin Verlander.
Greatest Tiger of all time.
Okay,
just kidding.
Relax, Miguel Cabrera exists.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Miggy. We love you. You're by far the best.
There's probably some old people too that would be like Al yeah. Klein.
What's his face? The even our grandpa. God bless his soul. We love you, Rompin. But he said Miggy wasn't the best first baseman in Detroit history.
Who does he think is?
I don't know. Somebody that played against mechanics, probably. The blue-collared American.
What position did Ty Cobb play?
I don't know.
Wasn't he a Tiger?
I thought he was a Yankee. I don't know. To be honest, baseball history starts when the color when barrier black people is broken. Were allowed. Yeah, like, anytime before that doesn't count. Like, Babe Ruth didn't exist.
Ty Cobb was a Tiger.
He was
for
a
his
tiger.
Entire 24-year career.
Who was it?
He played center field.
Look up best first baseman in Detroit Tigers history. Because I can tell you exactly who he says is the best first baseman.
He's surely talking about Prince Fielder, right?
Yeah.
Victor Martinez also played some first base for
it's
them.
Old, Jacob.
I know. Hank Greenberg?
No.
No, he's an outfielder, apparently.
It was like Hal something, I thought. No, it wasn't Hal something.
Cecil Fielder.
Wait, third base. Look up third base. What am I talking about? He's a third base. Look at the best third baseman. I am sorry, Miggy. He's the best third baseman in...
Tigers.
Why am I...
Third baseman.
I'm used to Miggy...
This should be good entertainment, I think, for the listeners, right?
I mean... Yeah.
Oh, Brandon Inge, of course.
Oh, there it is. No, I'm used to this generation version of Miggy. This year's
dude.
Miggy.
I don't fucking know.
Damn it. Okay. Talk. I'm
George
find
Kell.
It.
They have as the best third baseman. Travis Fryman. Ray Boone. They actually have Brandon Inge as one of their best third basemen. Love that. Love that for him. Okay, this is a detour we didn't need. We're not even talking about... How did we even get on this?
Justin Verlander is making his debut against the Tigers.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get back on track. National League West, you got the Dodgers in first, you got the D-backs in second. Padres are 16-14 there in third place. And then the Giants are bad, 393 win percentage, 11-17. And the Rockies are even worse, 310 win percentage, 9-20. And there is hail.
That's loud.
Smashing my window right now. Do you hear and see that?
Yeah.
If I leave the camera.
He was definitely talking about Hank Greenberg, by the way.
Yeah, he was an outfielder, I think. I apologize for anyone listening that is just hearing hail against my window, but that's just going to be a thing, I guess, now. For at least the next
Hammer
little
while. Hammer and Hank. That's who it was.
That's crazy. I am so distracted by this hail fire. The Dodgers, wild. Isaac. They have come around. Are you believing in the Dodgers, or do you think that their lineup is too weak compared to what they have been in years past to sustain
them.
This?
I believe in them, and I think they'll get better when they get Shohei Ohtani.
That's a good point. We also picked, I think all three of us picked the Padres. Is that possible?
Yeah.
16-14, I'm still not really worried about them. They're only one game back.
One game back,
there.
And Steroid Boy came back.
Yeah, Tatis. Tatis is back. He's playing some good outfield. I think he's hitting okay so far.
Did you see his little thing?
His dance?
Yeah, his little dance whenever... Where was it? Again, I forget. They were all chanting, he's on steroids, and then
I think
he just
it was
started
at Wrigley.
Dancing to it. It was fantastic. I was like, you know what? He's embracing it. I love that.
People thought it was like bad sportsmanship that he was dancing.
Fuck that.
I think it was like he's getting bullied and he's just he's handling it in a fun
in
way.
A great way. I see. This is what I was saying a couple weeks ago. I was like, well, he's starting at the bottom. He can work his way back, and it's all about how he handles this. And to me, he's handling it in the funnest way, best way possible. Obviously, he knows he's done wrong, and maybe he doesn't regret it. But the fact that he's like. Just dealing with it the way he's dealing with it is great.
This is exactly how I would want Tatis to handle it, too. Like,
in the most Tatis way.
His image is like being this fun, like outlandish kind of baseball player. And that was like, that's what made people like him in the first place. So to just abandon that and become like a shell of himself after the steroid thing is not what I would want to see. So I thought it was fun too. I agree.
I think
with
it
you.
Puts additional pressure on it, because if he flops this season, then the little dance,
it'll age less poorly. Some people were saying too, I think they were losing like 6-0 at that point. So that was a deterrent for some people too. They did not like that.
To be fair, is it supposed to just tune them out, or like be angry and just bottle it all up? Or do you just be like, all right, let's just irritate these people even more by giving them a little dance, like put on a show?
Yeah, you gotta annoy the opposing crowd a little bit, right?
The fans,
it's gotta be a little bit of rivalry.
They want him to react. They got a reaction, but the reaction was not the reaction that they probably wanted. They wanted him to be angry at them. This man was just dancing along with their little song. It's like, he's going to keep going as long as you keep singing. Really, at a certain point, that chant doesn't become, oh, we hate you, you're on steroids type shit. That little chant just begins to root him on. It's like, oh yeah, keep doing your dance, we love it. Like, they're, at a certain point, they're like, oh, now we're fans of you. It became a positive thing.
Yeah.
I
liked it. I thought it was fun.
Thank you, Tatis, for that.
Honestly, I want Tatis to, like, as much as I do think he's a cheater, and you have every right to call him a cheater and whatnot, because he did cheat the game of baseball. I don't know. He served a suspension. We're moving forward. I think that it's fair to say that if he gets caught again, there's no chance of him making the Hall of Fame. But what do you think, Isaac? Hall of Fame for Fernando Tatis? Do you think it's already out of the question now because he's been caught for using steroids? Or do you think that if he can have like a 10-year amazing stretch now that he is supposedly not on steroids, that he could get into the Hall still?
So I am gonna hinge this, because I do believe he should be able to have a Hall of Fame career, and he should be allowed in the Hall of Fame from this point on. But I also am on the stance that, well, Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. He is the leader in almost every stat in baseball. So if you put Tatis in and not Barry Bonds, there's some real issues. So that's the difficult part, is like, well, your double standards are absolutely insane, because you love Tatis because the media likes him, he's nice to the fans, all of that, whereas Barry Bonds was like anti everything in certain ways, and he hated the media.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Bonds was his own, they just didn't like the non-gentleman aspect back in the day of Barry Bonds, which is stupid.
Such a good point.
Also, I know we're swaying. I'm just gonna keep swaying back to the Tigers, because it's Hank Greenberg. I've become a fan. I'll take it. He's one of the best ever. Greenberg, also being, he was one of the first Jewish superstar athletes that it says in this Wikipedia. I don't know.
Interesting.
There could have been more before. But he was one of the few opposing players to publicly welcome Jackie Robinson to the major leagues in 1947. So if our grandfather says Hank Greenberg is the best of all time, we love that man for that reason.
I'm sure that's why our grandpa liked it, because he knew that he was the first guy to welcome Jackie. So
yeah. And I also said he has some empathy for that situation, being 1947 as a Jewish man, having gone to war. So he went to war in the 30s, so he
Thank
fought
for
in
your
World
service,
War II
sir.
As a Jewish man.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, bro. Let's talk AL West.
I apologize.
No, I got no problem. That's an interesting story.
Man, when
that's
he
fun.
Deserves it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Thank you for your service. Let's talk AL West, though. And let's pop over to the first. Let's just go through the standings. Rangers, first place, 17-11. Astros, 16-3 in second place. The Angels, 15-14 at third place. The Mariners, 12-16, fourth place. And the worst team potentially of all time, the Oakland Athletics, 6-23. They have a 207 win percentage.
They have six wins.
Six wins. Fun fact, they have as many wins as the Rays have losses. So, literally opposite. They have flip records.
Fun fact, they're moving to Vegas.
Not fun for everybody. The Texas Rangers, Isaac. They just found out that Jacob DeGrom is headed to the injured list, as they probably should have expected, with a forearm strain.
They didn't just find out. They knew this as soon as they signed him. He's heading to the IL, so
That's fine. That's unfortunate for them, but I'm hoping they have backup plans in place. They basically went out and got a whole new rotation this year. Well, actually, that's not really true. They've kind of built it over the last couple of years with Martin Perez. Nady Evaldi they just got this year. They also got Andrew Heaney. They got, who sucks again, by the way. I'll just say this about Andrew Heaney. He was the worst pitcher in baseball by a large margin when he was on the Yankees.
Patrick Corbin.
And then last year, nope.
Andrew Heaney was worse than Patrick Corbin.
Yes, in his 20s. I mean, I can look it up. No, but he was absolutely terrible. He was at least bottom two.
Okay. Well, I do think Andrew Heaney has a better upside than Patrick Corbin. So if we say he shouldn't be in MLB, Patrick Corbin shouldn't be in AAA even.
Yeah, but Andrew Heaney is on a team that's competing right now. True. Whereas, what's his face? Corbin is on a team that doesn't give a fuck. They're rebuilding. They want him to lose.
Well, to be fair, Arizona really doesn't give a fuck. Shouldn't give a fuck. They don't really. Their shit, I think, is unsustainable as well. They got rid of Mad Bum and ate most of his salary just so they didn't have to have him on the roster.
2021, Andrew Heaney had a 5.83 ERA between the Angels and the Yankees. And when he was with the Yankees, Isaac, his ERA was 7.32. And that was across 12 games, 35 innings, 94 innings.
And his ERA for the season was
5.83.
Oh, 5.83. I thought it was like 8. Okay, never mind.
He was absolutely horrible. And then last year he goes to the Dodgers, pitches 72 innings with a 3.10 ERA.
Why is he pitching on big market teams?
So basically the Dodgers fixed him. And then as soon as he left, he lost the magic juice.
See, that's the thing. Okay, Andrew Heaney probably has a little bit more potential left in his tank than Patrick Corbin. Corbin had his moment. It's gone.
No longer.
I always wonder about certain guys, though. It's like, is there not a better option in your organization? And there is. There always is. They just don't want to use those options. They don't want to... I don't know.
The Rangers have some good players, though, man. They're not a terrible team. They just kind of lack, like, some of the depth pieces that, like, a competitor would have. Like, a real World Series competitor. Yeah, it's because
they spend
all
their money on their middle infield.
Yeah, and Corey Seager right now on the IL with a hamstring injury. But you have him for most of the season. You have Marcus Semien. Nathaniel Lau is solid. He's a good first baseman. Josh Jung, Greg's Rookie of the Year pick. Go listen to our awards predictions episode if you want to hear all about that.
Is Semien playing first base?
He's doing well. No, Semien's second baseman.
Yeah, I know. You said he's a great first baseman. I was like, what the fuck?
I said Nathaniel Lowe.
Oh! I didn't hear. I thought you were still on Semien. I was like, time out. No. Semien's a second baseman.
And then you got Adolis Garcia in the outfield too. So they got some good pieces, man. They're a decent team. No slouches, that's for sure. They're decent. But a 6.07 win percentage, Isaac. 1.5 games ahead of the Astros. How do you see this playing out?
Astros are a dynasty, dude. They gonna win that division.
Even with the two guys they just lost?
Back to
Luis Garcia is on the injured list with a elbow injury now. That's not good.
Elbow soreness.
Like you said, what did he pitch?
He pitched eight pitches? Innings. I mean, it's 8 pitches. 8 innings. Yeah. He pitched eight innings would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Over the course of 8 innings.
And then Jose Urquidy, the day before, had hurt his shoulder as well. So they've lost two arms out of their rotation.
I don't think elbow stuff. It just says soreness or minimizing it. I don't know. I still think, like, it's Houston. I can't, at this point in time, I just can't imagine the playoffs without Houston. They're too good. So I have to have faith in that. They are this generation's best dynasty. As you can hate me for saying that, but they are. And they won a World Series cleanly last year. So shut the fuck up about 2017 now.
Just in, like, as an example of how the Astros just kind of find people to replace it. Obviously, Jose Altuve started the season on the injured list with a broken thumb. His replacement has been Mauricio Dubon. Mauricio Dubon, a .317 batting average, .340 on base, and has a few stolen bases. He's been hitting leadoff for them. He scored 20 runs already. Like, they have guys that just step up and do it. I'm sure that they'll find some arms to replace these guys too. I definitely anticipate the Astros winning the division. Okay. And but I think what we should discuss, Angels are 15-14, Mariners are 12-16, Rangers are 17-11. Have you seen enough from any of these three teams to say who will come in second in this division for you?
I mean, Texas does look good, and they do actually have some pieces. They just need to add more depth. Seattle's looked really bad. But we also know, like, Julio isn't performing up to quite what he's supposed to. People think Teo should be performing at a higher level. I think he's
people performing. Think. You don't think so?
I thought he overachieved in Toronto, and I said that frequently. And I was like, I don't think what he does is a sustainable thing. I thought he just had a very good lineup to be built around, and he got to see a lot of good pitches because of that. And I think there's more pressure on him being a star in Seattle. And I do see also Teo is like a very streaky guy where he can get really hot.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there are a lot of red flags in his game, and there's always been, and he's always proved me wrong, and he's probably going to continue to prove me wrong, but I still don't see him as a guy that is actually a lot better than what he's doing right now. And to add to his crazy career of overachieving, the first, like, 3 weeks of the season, he had the most defensive run saved. Like, he was leading the league in defensive run saved. He is a historically really bad defensive player. So, he does weird things. Teo just does well.
He's awesome, though. He makes it work. I love Teo as a guy.
We do love Teo. And my favorite moment of that Jays game, sorry, again, for off topic, but on Sunday, I didn't think he got a warm enough ovation on Friday night. I thought it was disappointing. And to me, that was too many Jays casuals. They didn't stand up immediately and give him the ovation. Obviously, there was a ceremony at the beginning of the game, which was good. But flash forward to Sunday, he hit a very clutch home run that essentially ended up helping them win that game. And even though it was a big home run that hurt the Jays mightily in that series, he got, after he rounded second base, got a standing ovation. People were cheering for him. People were happy that he hit that home run. And I thought that was like the most wholesome moment because as soon as he hit that ball, I was on my feet cheering for it. All I wanted was Teo to hit a home run there, and it was great. So nice. Good moment. And we do love Teo. And yeah,
I had the Mariners as like as a wild card winner.
Yeah.
In the American League. And I'm actually pretty worried about it now. I'm not saying it's over by any means. They're five games back. Only four games under .500 right now. There's plenty of time to make that up. But they did lose Robbie Ray for the season, who is a big time, he's not the Cy Young winner that he was with the Blue Jays. We know that. We knew he wasn't going to be that. But he racks up innings and does them pretty well. And to try and replace his bulk in the rotation is going to be extremely difficult for them to try and do. He is out. He's having surgery on a flexor tendon, for anyone wondering.
But their offense is their story right now. Like, their offense is good, but they are underperforming severely. There's a bunch of guys that haven't gotten going, including Julio once again. And it's all coming at a time where Jared Kelenic seems to be having his breakout season. He seems to be looking like the Jared Kelenic that we were expecting him to look like. And it seems to be happening right now. If it's sustainable, who knows? But he looks real, so it would be amazing to see them make an actual playoff push with Julio and Kelenic, who was supposed to be the beginnings of a dynasty. So, cool shit.
Jared Kelenic, in his first two seasons in the major leagues, now they weren't full seasons. It's a combined, well, it's basically one full season, 2021 and 2022. He had 500 at-bats, 558 plate appearances. He had a 168 batting average, 589 OPS, 66 OPS plus.
It's not fair to say that actually his 2022 wasn't a full season. He just got sent down multiple times. He just got sent down for a long period of time because he was bad and came up and he was bad. So I still count that. He didn't go on the injured list like that. He didn't miss the full season for reasons that were because his health was impaired. He missed the full parts of that season because he was garbage that season.
All of 2022, he hit 7 home runs. In 2023, in April of 2023, he has 7 home runs, 14 RBIs, 308 batting average, 982 OPS, 175 OPS plus. By all accounts, also not fluky. When you look at his underlying metrics, he is barreling the ball. He's hitting it hard. His expected batting average is pretty accurate with his current average. And Looking pretty good over there.
Okay.
AL Central, and then we get into the final division that is really the one worth talking about, I would say.
Yeah, White Sox are horrendous.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about them?
I don't want to. You have the standings. What's their record right now?
Well, I think that the guy that picked them to win the division should.
I don't have the standings. I can't pull up the standings. You know this. I physically cannot.
The White Sox are in fourth place. They have a 8-21 record, Isaac.
Yeah.
276 win percentage.
Yeah. Because this is the biggest
1-9 in their last 10.
This is the biggest choking team. They're like the Mets are cursed. But every year the White Sox just flop. Flop. Why? Why do they flop like this?
Their rebuild was actually a failure.
Yeah.
If you think about it, they're like at the point now where they've missed the window.
Rebuild again. Dude, this is a team they rebuilt for. They rebuilt for these guys that they currently have in their lineup. This is their dynasty team that they thought they created.
Yep.
Like, this is what Houston built going into 2014 with, like, George Springer, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman. Like, those guys were supposed to be these guys here. It hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. Eloy's always injured. Moncada was a flop. Luis Robert strikes out a lot. Like, what is going on here?
Their pitching is terrible.
Dylan Cease is the only, like, guy that could...
He's the only guy in the rotation that's, like, league average and better than league average.
Well, everyone else is insane, too. But it's just, like, why? Why is this team like this? Every scout, every GM needs to get fired. Because, look, I get it. Players don't turn out to be what they're supposed to be, but they stripped the roster down to build these guys up. And now they're going to have to rebuild again if this team doesn't get their shit together. They're going to become free agents, and they're going to have nothing because they can't even trade them away because none of them are achieving anything right now.
But this is the one team I would say has actually played themselves already out of the playoffs in April, because unlike the Cardinals, who are 9 games back from the division lead, which the White Sox also are 9 games back, which is actually kind of crazy to me, because being 8-21 and you're only 9 games back, like, that's actually pretty wild to me. Obviously, I don't expect them to have a 276 win percentage when it's all said and done, but I think it's like kind of a long shot now for them to even be a 500 ball club at the end of the season, especially with how things have looked. And, man, like, with the Cardinals, like I had been saying, like, I think that when you look at their team, you look at the players that they have, you look at, like, what they did last year, Like, I think that they have the upside to climb out of the hole that they've put themselves in. Whereas the White Sox, I don't see it, man. This is, it just kind of seems more like this is kind of who they are. And it's actually super depressing. I feel super bad for White Sox fans. You poor blue collar sons of bitches over there on the south side of Chicago.
Look, I don't, this is still a team with potential. Like, it's so annoying because these are guys that should be good. And they
Detroit Tigers are ahead of them, Isaac.
Jacob.
10-17.
Okay, I'm just praying. Like, I can't write them off. I physically cannot. I look at their roster, I'm like, this is a good team. This should be a good team. Why aren't they good? Why are they so bad? And it happens every single year. I'm like, oh, they look good. It's the same roster year in, year out, and doing the same things every year. All I'm praying for right now is Liam Hendricks to get back, and somehow that just changes the momentum of the season, and they just turn it around. But yeah. What the fuck, man? I just don't understand it.
Current standings of the American League Central, Twins are in first, 17-12. That's a pretty good start to the season, I'd say. Guardians are 14-15. They're in second place. And then it's just trash for the bottom three. It's the Tigers are 10-17, White Sox 8-21, and the Royals 7-22. I think we all, again, maybe Greg picked the Twins to be a wild card team.
Yeah, something like that.
Or maybe even win the division. I don't necessarily remember. But we all had the Guardians. They're one game under 500 right now.
I picked Chicago, Jacob.
Hmm?
I picked Chicago.
You picked Chicago to win the division. Yeah. You're right. Oh, no. Greg and I picked the Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, you picked the White Sox. That's easily going to be that's the worst
take. That's the worst pick of the year. That's the worst pick of this entire... That's going to be the worst pick of this entire...
Of the podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's true. I feel sick to my stomach just thinking about that. Yeah. That's terrible.
I've been watching Chicago games, too, because I actually enjoy the... I like the look of their roster. And every game, and they got nice, they look so bad.
Yeah, they do. Twins, honestly, 586 win percentage, maybe a little much. They had a good month. Fine. I think the Guards will overtake them when it's all said and done. But we don't need to talk about the AL Central anymore. Isaac, it is time. We have gotten to 47 minutes in this show.
All right, let's run through this one.
No, that's not my point. My point is,
I gotta go pee.
This is what we've been building up to.
I forgot we were live on a podcast. This is going into the recording.
That is what it is. You know, people are humans. Everyone has to pee every now and then. It's not that weird of a thing to say. The weird thing is I'm trying to mark where we're going into the American League beast, and it's at 48 minutes, so I can put that in my timestamps. Isaac, American League East, Tampa Bay Rays. 47
minutes, dude. Mine says 47 minutes.
That's concerning.
And 30 seconds.
That seems like there's going to be some lag. Mine says 48 minutes and 30 seconds. All right. We'll see how that turns out in the end. There might be some editing. That
I came in a minute after you.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyways.
I hope. Anyways.
Okay. American League East, Isaac. The best team in baseball, record-wise, is the Tampa Bay Rays. Yep. Then you have the Baltimore Orioles in second, 19-9. What a start for them. The Blue Jays are 18-11. Red Sox, 16-14. And Yankees are 15-15. In contrast to every other division where you have at least one scrub, basically, in the division, the fact that there is not a single team under 500 in the American League East is wild. The Yankees, Isaac, the team that won, 116 games or some shit? No, that's not right. They won like 116
games?
What did they win? Like 107 games or something like that?
I don't know. Aaron Judge is on the IL. That obviously, that was bound to happen one day again. And if Aaron Judge is on the IL, they're not winning 106 games. Or however many they won.
Yeah.
Oh, I see a dog.
Why don't you go take a piss and I will tell the people about...
No,
the,
it's fine. I'm here for
it. Oh, you're gonna hang in there?
Yeah.
You're going to ride with us?
Yeah.
All right, well... I think, first of all, Orioles, we know what they did last year. We thought they overachieved. Maybe they didn't. They've got all their good young studs up there.
Who said that? They were one of the best building teams.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe they
19-9. A 679 win percentage seems a little unsustainable to me. I expect the Blue Jays to overtake them. I hope, please. 18-11. That's a good start. Like, you can't complain if you're a Rays, Orioles, Blue Jays, or even a Red Sox fan at this point. I don't think you can complain about the starts your team have gotten off to. 16-14 is way better than I thought the Red Sox were going to be at this point. 18-11 is about what I would expect from the Blue Jays, which is 621 win percentage. 19-9 is better. And 23-6 is absolutely insane. That's the best record in baseball. It's like the best record in franchise history for the Rays, which isn't really saying that much. It's also, there's like historic run differentials records that the Rays are breaking.
It's all unsustainable, but they're still a very good team that could definitely win this division.
Yeah. So the thing that I wanted to talk about, Isaac, in this division is the Tampa Bay Rays schedule, because people are like, you can't take away from what the Rays are doing. And it's true to a certain extent that it doesn't matter who you're playing, you have to beat them. They're still technically Major League Baseball teams. But the thing is, you can kind of hold it against them. They've done exactly what you would want a really good baseball team to do against bad teams. And the fact is, they have faced bad teams so far. So let's just go through who they played this month, Isaac. They played the Tigers, the Nationals, the Athletics, the Red Sox, who, like we said, 16-14, better than what we expected. They're not really a very good team. And the Rays swept them in a four-game series. Then they played the Blue Jays. So April 14th was the first time they played a good team. They lost 2 out of 3 games to the Toronto Blue Jays. That tells you a little something, if you ask me. Then they go on to play the Cincinnati Reds in a 3-game series, the Chicago White Sox. Then, again, another good team. The second good team they've played of the month, the Houston Astros. They lose that series, too. 2-3. And then they played the White Sox again, Isaac. They played the White Sox again. That's a really easy schedule, man. They faced two good teams over the course of the month and then a bunch of bums. And the two series that they played against good teams, they lost. How much stock do you put in that?
I mean, I think they Ray still. So I do think there's stock in that. I do think the schedule's easy, too easy. But I also know this is going to balance out at some point, but I still think they're going to keep winning games. I think they will settle back where they usually settle, which is around 90 wins. I don't know. I think it's good. I also think this division is way too tough to keep it up at this level. So, I don't know. I think the most unsustainable team for me is Baltimore in this division, if you want to move away from the Rays or for staying with the Rays.
We can move away from the Rays. I said my piece on the Rays. Like, yeah. I said, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yeah, they've broken a lot of records in terms of like run differential.
The consecutive home runs or to start a season in like, it was like 21 games, straight games to start a season.
How much stock do you put in the theory, Isaac, that
Randy
people...
Rosarena.
Yeah, MVP. How much stock do you put in the fact that people are saying that the MLB purposely implemented this super easy schedule for the Rays at the beginning to put asses in seats over the course of the
season? Yeah, we love conspiracies. We do love conspiracies. They didn't do that for Oakland, so I don't... What the fuck you want?
Because what do they... But what do they stand to gain from Oakland? They knew Oakland was going to be moving.
Okay, time out. Then what about Chicago? We can talk about the White Sox, too, who get shitty attendance every game. Why didn't they give them the easiest possible schedule?
Because there's only so many teams that get the rub.
Why would it be Tampa? They're already exciting. If people don't go to the games, it's because people don't want to go to the games.
All right, so you're debunking the conspiracy theory?
Some teams have to have an easy schedule to start. Some teams have a really hard schedule. So every team that has a horrible schedule has to have another team has to have a great schedule. And 3 months down the line, they're going to get fucked with a bunch of shitty matchups.
Yeah, even this month, it gets a little harder. Yeah. They're up against the Pirates first, who are really hot right now. Then they got the Yankees, the Orioles, Yankees again, Mets, Brewers, Blue Jays. Yeah, their May schedule is pretty tough.
It just happened to happen that they had a great schedule. It's fine.
So the thing is, though, we'll see over the course of this month now, I think, like, if they can continue to have, like, a 700 win percentage at the end of this month, then I'm starting to, like, be like, okay, you know what? I'm laying back on the Rays kind of slander, yeah, in a sense, because if they can do, like, if they can put up really amazing, a great record in this month of May, that is a very tough schedule, objectively, then I think I'm worried.
Yeah, so, to me, aside, like, away from that point even, is people are, minimizing, you shouldn't minimize what they're doing, and I don't think it's minimizing saying they have an easy schedule, and that's why they're on a great run, because it is true, but minimizing them severely by saying that MLB purposely gave them an easy schedule to put people in the building, that's so fucking stupid. That discredits Randy Arozarena. That discredits how good this team is. Wander Franco was the number one prospect in baseball. Randy broke the Barry Bonds home run record in the postseason, like, and brought them to the semifinals in the WBC. Like, this team is actually good. They've been good. They could win 100 games any given year, regardless of their schedule. So shut the fuck up to people saying MLB is purposely giving them an easy schedule. Because that actually pisses me off.
I like how you added the, like, two people saying it. Because it sounded so harsh, like you were yelling at me for...
I was yelling at you, because you're one of the people, but I didn't want to be, like, singling you out.
I mean, I'm
out.
Not, like, fully bought in. I think it's, like, a funny
you're
idea.
You're kind of bought in. But I think... No, it is funny. You think it's funny, but I also think you kind of believe it. Like, that's the thing. Like,
a part
I
of
think
me does, honestly.
It.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like, fuck you, man. Like, you're just pissed off because they didn't get to come to Montreal.
I'm just, that's true as well, but I'm
and
also
no offense,
just jealous
but your
of,
city's the last city that deserves an MLB franchise, so Oakland, yeah, deserves one more.
I don't know what I did to deserve that, but that's fine. I mean, don't Isaac, there's nothing else, I don't think we really need to talk, oh,
okay.
Yankees,
Baltimore.
I guess? Oh, no, yeah, you had something to say about Baltimore, go ahead.
I think Baltimore is slightly unsustainable, because obviously they have a lot of potential down the line, but I think their team is so young that I think as more scouting reports come in, I do think they're going to be challenged a little bit more, and I think they will fall into, like, the 500 category. I think Boston also had a lot of question marks, but I think there was upside with Boston if Yoshida is playing well and some of the other younger guys. Mm-hmm. And
there was never much question about their lineup. It's always been that their pitching's terrible.
Yeah, and I think we know what we expect with the Jays and the Yankees as well as the Rays. But we don't obviously we didn't expect this much from the Rays. But I also, I'm curious to know if there's ever been a division since this format with these 30 teams in American League NL, the mm-hmm. way it is now. If there's ever been a division where all teams have finished over 500. Because this could be the best division of all time at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Which pisses me off. And I feel like every team in this division would hate that, because you only have so many years of excellence before
your players
move on.
It's an interesting thought, Isaac. I just Googled, has there ever been an MLB, whatever you just said, since MLB's realignment in 1993, no division has had all of its teams above 500. The closest was in 2005 in the National League East, when four teams were over 500, but the Washington Nationals ended up 81-81. Oh, so no team has ever had
over. That's
no team has
records,
ever been over.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Because I don't. If the Yankees finish 15-15, if that's the season ends today, then doesn't.
Well,
count.
They can't finish 15-15.
It's always Washington that's got to ruin it in the East. The ruined history. Yeah.
That's honestly, it's kind of impressive to me, though, too, that, like, everyone was 500 or better. Like, I think that's kind
of
crazy.
It would have been tougher back then. It would have been tougher prior to this year as well, by the way. Because you play your division a lot more. So you're actually winning and losing against your division more often.
That's interesting. I might use this as a Wild Stat Wednesday. I think I'm going to. And screenshot this.
Give you content.
Follow us at Shaped by Sports. Thank you, Isaac. I had a whole thing here about picking MLB All-Stars, rookie players of the month and shit like that. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't think I can really talk about it to an extent that would be any more beneficial than you actually just going and reading the article. So if you're interested in a bunch of players that are super hot this month, just go to search MLB All-Star Picks April 2023, and there's an article out by MLB kind of highlighting the best players in the National League and American League at every position so far, and it's pretty interesting. And I think it gives you, we'll see. I was hoping that they would announce the players of the month, the rookie of the month, all of that kind of stuff before we recorded this episode, but that is not the case. So we will not be talking about it. Also, we gave you an hour of content. What more do you want from us? Let us live our lives, you know? We are not prisoners to the show.
Wow.
Is that a good way to end a podcast?
No, I think that's pretty rude. I think you just said fuck you to the fans.
I don't think I did that. I apologize if that's how you took it
personally.
It.
The way you took it personally when I said fuck you to you.
Mm. Isaac, do you want to just... Okay, maybe we should end it on this.
Bruh, my thing is starting to...
Hold on. Do you want to have a moment of silence for Brandon Woodruff?
Fuck you.
Who's on the injured list with shoulder inflammation?
Stop.
Okay. No moment of silence for Brandon Woodruff. I'm trying to push the music through, Isaac, but because things are lagging, I'm not sure it's actually going through. So I'm just going to do the outro, assuming the music is playing, but it might not be. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Diamond Gems. We appreciate you listening, and we hope you enjoyed watching the month of April for baseball. Follow us at Diamond Gems Podcast, at Shaped by Sports, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Shaped by Sports. And like, subscribe, leave a kind review if you like this episode.
And thoughts and prayers to Brandon Woodruff's shoulder. Please keep him in your hearts tonight.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.